بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Schools have now been open, you know, for some time. Classes have been going on for a few weeks now at school and at university and colleges. Lessons, you know, homework, readings have all been assigned. And before you know it, the midterms will be coming around. And at work, some of us have been, you know, some of us have had classes to teach perhaps, presentations to make, projects to work on, meetings to attend. All the things which for the most part require preparation, things that we know we need to do or that we are supposed to do. But how many of us find ourselves when we know we have, you know, a presentation to make, when we know we have an assignment that's due, when we know we have a reading that needs to be completed, how many of us find ourselves quite simply rushing at the 11th hour or rushing, you know, at the last minute to try to get it done, and sometimes in vain, especially if it's a reading and you know you're not going to be able to complete it. You know, you sort of try to skim through the reading, maybe read the first page of the chapter, the last page of the chapter, you know, try to get some sense of what is being said so that when you go attend a class, attend a lecture, you know, you're not totally lost and you're not confused. Or you might just end up skipping it altogether. But nonetheless, you know, so many of us find ourselves doing this at the last minute. So many of us find ourselves in this situation. And the same thing applies to so many other things that we need to do as well, and that we know we need to do, and that we know we're supposed to do. So for example, offering our prayers. For example, offering our prayers. So we know our prayers need to be offered. We know we're supposed to offer them on time. But sometimes, you know, we just find ourselves in a situation where we keep delaying and delaying and delaying and delaying until we find ourselves, you know, at the last minute trying to rush and complete our prayers, or we find ourselves missing our prayers altogether. Or we have to pay our bills. So the bill comes in the mail, or we receive it online, or we log in, you know, to online banking. We see that we have a bill to pay, and we know it's supposed to be paid by this date. We know that interest is going to be charged if you don't pay it by this particular date. But nonetheless, we keep putting it off. We keep putting it off until it's like the day before or 2 days before, or perhaps on the day of, payment doesn't reach there in time, and then we're charged interest, and so on and so forth. So this, of course, has something to do with laziness, which is related to procrastination as well. And this is a type of disease of sorts. University students know very well what procrastination can do to their studies. It is a disease that affects the mind. It affects the mind, then it affects the heart, and finally, through the heart, the body also becomes afflicted as well. And what happens is that our mind loses its power to do something. And this is the mental weakness. Okay, so our mind becomes convinced that it cannot do something or that it doesn't want to do something. Then the heart, secondly, gets removed from what needs to be done. Okay, so first it's the mind, right, that becomes weak in terms of its willpower, in terms of its initiative in trying to get something done. Then the heart gets removed from it. So the person doesn't feel like doing it. You know, the person's heart is not into it. Then, and actually this, the ability to do, the inability to do something, this weakness, this feeling of weakness, this feeling of powerlessness is referred to as a ajz. Is referred to as a ajz. The inability to do something, the lack of willpower, the lack of, you know, power within a person's self to go out and get something done. And as a result of that, our bodies become slow to respond. Right, so because of ajz, which is the feeling of weakness, the feeling of powerlessness, our bodies become slow to respond. We become sluggish, we become lazy, and this is referred to as kasl. So we're talking about two things here: ajz and kasl. And these are so serious These are so serious that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sought Allah's refuge, Allah's protection against these, from ajz and from kasid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course, sought refuge from a number of serious things. A number of serious things that can bring a person down. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam do? He sought Allah's protection. He sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a number of things which can bring a person down. So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sought protection in Allah from shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sought protection from sadness. He sought protection from anxiety. He sought protection from the burden of debts. And in the afterlife, you know, he sought protection from things like the punishment of the grave, meaning for the afterlife, he sought protection from things like punishment of the grave and the punishment of the hellfire and so on and so forth. So these are all things. These are all things that can bring a person down, that drag a person away from being optimal, from being efficient, from being active and being effective. And as we narrated in many ahadith, in a number of ahadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would constantly seek refuge against ajz and against kasl, right, against powerlessness or the inability to get something done, and from laziness. And many of the prophets and many of the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam heard him repeat it over and over again. These are famous du'as. Now why? Why was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam so... Why was he taking this so seriously? Why was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam seeking Allah's protection against laziness and against the inability to get things done, against powerlessness? Why? Because these are weaknesses that we have within us that are exploited by shaitan. So, you know, a few weeks ago, or at the end of Ramadan, we talked about shaitan and the tricks that shaitan employs, right? The tricks that shaitan employs to hold us back from what is good and to send us upon the path which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to go on. So these are weaknesses that are exploited by shaitan to destroy us slowly. To destroy us slowly, primarily in two ways. So these are weaknesses that are exploited by shaitan to destroy us slowly, and this is done primarily in two ways. So number one, by encouraging us to act upon our temptations, to be lazy. Right? We all have the temptation to be lazy. We all have, or most of us have, the temptation, you know, to sleep in the morning. We have the temptation to not do things which require effort. So what does he do? He encourages us to act upon this temptation to be lazy, and he sets us up. He sets us up to damage or destroy things that we could have easily done successfully. What does he do? He sets us up to destroy or damage things we could have easily done. Things we could have easily accomplished and done so successfully. So for example, I was talking about readings, right? So if you're a university college student or in high school and you're assigned something that you need to read, right? And this reading will benefit you, right? There's knowledge inside this book. Your professor, your teacher has assigned it to you before the next lecture so that you know the subject, you're familiar with the topic and the subject that's going to be discussed. And you know you need to get this done. And you know that even if it's a number of pages, if you divide it up, right, into the number of days until your next class, if you spend some time, if you spend a few hours every day, you have the ability to get this done. And you know that this will benefit you. But nonetheless, you know, the temptation will be there. Shaitan will encourage you to keep putting it off, keep putting it off, keep putting it off until the last minute when you realize and you say, okay, you know what, there's no point, I'm not going to be able to read this, complete this reading anyway. Or so, for example, if you have an assignment, and I've seen this with my own eyes, right? Where you have an assignment, you know you're supposed to get it done. You know there's a deadline for that assignment. You know that, you know, you're going to lose marks if you hand it in late. But nonetheless, you keep delaying it. Students will keep delaying it. The deadline passes. And so before the deadline passes, you say, okay, I have a week to do it. Okay, then you get into the week. Then you say, okay, I have 5 days to do it. Then you get into the last 5 days. Then you say, okay, I have 3 days to do it. Then you still say, okay, you know, I have 2 days to do it. Then you find yourself on the day. Then you say, okay, it's okay if it's late by 1 day, I'll just lose a few marks. Okay, and then okay, it's okay if it's late by 2 days, okay, I'll just lose a little more marks. Next thing you know, I've seen this happen, right? The assignment is handed in so late, even though if it's a great assignment, guess what? You've lost 15%, 20%, 25%, 30%, 40% of your mark. Why? Because you were lazy. Why? Because you were procrastinating and shaitan just made you keep delaying. You had a temptation, shaitan encouraged you, you fell for it, and you kept delaying it and delaying and delaying it. Same thing with our prayers, right? Like I mentioned. The time for prayer comes in, say, okay, you know, it's summertime, the hard time lasts for a long time, you have a couple of hours, I'll pray a bit later on. Okay, then you get busy with something. Then you say, okay, let me finish this up and then I'll go pray. And then you start finishing that up and it takes a bit longer than expected. Then you say, okay, now I need to use the bathroom. So you go use the bathroom. Then you say, okay, now I'm hungry and I won't be able to pray properly if I'm hungry. You know, then you go take a quick snack. Next thing you know, oh my goodness, there's only 5 minutes left. Rush, rush, rush. Boom. And then you're done your salat in 2 minutes. When you had a whole couple of hours to get it done, right? You could have offered the best salat in the world, right? Taken all the time that you needed, but no, right? This is what happens, right? Same thing with the bills, right? Applications, right? Students who have to apply for things, or if you have to apply for something else, scholarships, internships, things like that. Same thing happens, right? You know there's a deadline coming up, deadlines in December, deadlines in November. You know you have a couple of months to do it. Keep delaying it, delaying it, delaying it, delaying it, delaying it. Until you're like, oh, just forget it, it's too late. I probably won't get it anyway. Right? And you don't try it, and then that's it. And actually, on that point, you should always try to apply for these things. Students, you're listening. You should always, always try to apply for scholarships and for internships. Because a lot of times, no one's even applying. Everyone's in the same boat. Right? Next thing you know, there's only one or two people, three people who have applied. Right? So my professors would always tell us, would always encourage us, my class, you know, always go out and apply for these things. Because you never know. You might only be three people who have applied. Right? And you'll have a 33% chance of getting it. So go out and apply for it. And even if you don't get it, even if you're not successful, it's not in vain. It actually helps you prepare better for next time around. So next time you have to apply for an internship, next time you have to apply for a scholarship or for something like that, it makes you better. It helps you, or for a job for that matter, it helps you improve your application. It helps you improve and you know, prepare better for it. So don't put these things off. And this is how something that could have been done easily, something that could have been accomplished successfully with little effort, becomes something that is lost or that becomes damaged because it was done at the last minute. So these are unnecessary losses, unnecessary lost opportunities. The other thing, the other method that shaitan uses, again, to exploit our weaknesses when it comes to laziness, is that he encourages us to take shortcuts that are simply wrong. He encourages us to take shortcuts that are simply wrong. So, you know, living in the times that we live in today, we're so used to doing everything quickly. Right? We're so used to doing everything quickly with very little effort. With very little effort. And there's nothing wrong with most of these things. So for example, you know, you want an answer. Back in the days, I'm going to sound old by saying this, right? But back in the days, what would you do? You have to go, you know, if you're doing a project, you're going to walk down to the library. You're going to look, okay, what encyclopedias do we have? Do I look at Britannica? Do I look at World Book? You're going to pull it out, and then you're going to try to figure out, okay, which letter should I open up? And then you read it, and you look at it, and then you do your research, you write down your notes, and then you're going to go, you know, write it all by hand, right? That was in the back in the days, right? Nowadays, so simple, right? You do a project, Google's right there, right? Don't use Wikipedia, please. If you're doing a project, don't use Wikipedia as a source. Okay, you should know that by now. I've seen people do that. Please don't do that. Right? So what I'm saying is things are so easy, right? You go to Google, you do a search, and boom, right? You see a bunch of sources, encyclopedias are online, everything's online, everything's become easy. You want an ice pack, right? So you're hot, you want to take a drink. You know, you're not going to get out of the car, park the car, go inside. Just go through the drive-thru, right? So things have become very easy. You want to lose weight? There's a 30-day, you know, weight loss plan. There's a 3-week this. There's a 10-day this. So everything, you know, we've become accustomed to doing everything very quickly and getting it done, you know, with very little effort. If you want food, you know, back in the days, people would have to take out food, cook it, you know, or reheat it on the stove, put it on a dish, and all that. Now you just throw it into the microwave, right? 30 seconds, 2 minutes, boom, it's done. So we've become accustomed to everything being done with shortcuts and being done very quickly, which I'm not saying is something bad. However, because we become accustomed to that, our nafs and shaitan you know, our inner self that encourages us to do evil, build upon that in a negative way. They build upon that in a negative way. So not only does Shaitan discourage us, or discourage us from putting in effort by promoting laziness, but many times, you know, in search of a shortcut, leads a person to the wrong path. Okay, so just, you know, how we become accustomed to finding a shortcut in everything, in a way to do everything very quickly and efficiently without putting in much effort. Because of that, it takes us down the wrong path. And I'll give you some examples. So for example, instead of, you know, if a person is facing a problem or a situation, so instead of actively striving to change the situation by putting in effort, by thinking about it, by planning to, you know, to deal with the problem or deal with the situation effectively, what does he encourage us to do? Take alcohol. Take drugs. Right? If you take some drugs, you can immediately, right, very quickly get rid of that feeling. Right? That problem that's facing you, you can escape it for some time. Right? And people start taking, abusing substances, for example. Instead of influencing people positively to achieve a person's goals, if you want to achieve something, right, if you want to get a high mark, you want to get married to someone, you want to do this, you want to do that, instead of actually working towards that, what do people start doing? And especially, you know, in many Muslim countries, unfortunately, they start using things like black magic, right? People start gambling. People start gambling, buying tickets, and at ridiculous odds to quickly become rich and start doing this regularly, like an addiction, right? I had a teacher, and he wasn't a Muslim, but he used to say, you know, I've never bought a lottery ticket in my life. It's like, I'd rather buy a candy bar, you know, I'd rather buy a chocolate bar for 75 cents for a dollar, and I know that I enjoy it now, right, and I get a pleasure out of it, instead of spending, you know, my whole life buying lottery tickets and not getting anything out of it. Right, so again, the temptation to become rich quickly, what does it do? It leads people to gamble. So all of these incorrect avenues, all of these incorrect avenues of reaching a goal, promoted by Shaitan as shortcuts. And at the root of it all, at the root of it all are the two things from which the Prophet ﷺ sought Allah's protection: ajz, the inner weakness, the feeling of powerlessness, the inability to get things done inside us, and kasl, which is laziness and sluggishness. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to realize, has blessed us with tremendous opportunities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with tremendous opportunities. You know, so while there are children, there are young people in many other countries, you know, who are currently suffering from illiteracy or who are risking their lives to study, right? There are children right now who are illiterate, or there are children right now who are risking their lives, risking their safety to study, to have the opportunity to study. You know, we have, mashallah, world-class schools, world-class universities with all the amenities that you could ask for, and actually they're more like luxuries. And you know, most of it is either paid for or is available for at an affordable price. So this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, there are so many people who are out of work, or other places, other countries where the unemployment rates are sky high, and people are desperate for any type of work. People are desperate for any type of work that can bring them some income. Well, you know, we, alhamdulillah, have the opportunity to work hard, earn a livelihood, or to start a business, for example. Also, being in a Muslim minority society, there is tremendous opportunity for doing da'wah, right? For doing outreach, for educating people within our communities and beyond about Islam. Right? I was reading an article by a scholar, and he talks about, and he mentioned how someone else mentioned that North American Muslims have this golden opportunity. You know, if you go to a Muslim country, you know, everyone, for the most part, knows Surah Fatiha. Right? People know, you know, surahs of the Quran. They know, they have basic understanding, basic knowledge for the most part, you know, of the essentials of Islam. Whereas here, you have this whole field, you know, that's open, where you can take the opportunity, you know, a few minutes to teach someone something about Islam, even someone within your own community, or someone who's not even a Muslim. And that can become a source of blessing, and that can become a source of, you know, of rewards for you for years and for years to come. If you teach someone something good, right, and they start practicing upon it, And then they use that to tell others, right? Or to teach their children, right? Because you started it, because you supported it in the beginning, you can then reap the rewards, the benefits, right? And get rewarded for every good that comes out of it afterwards as well, right? So we have a tremendous opportunity here. We have, you know, the freedom to start projects, organizations, you know, to champion causes, to pick up, you know, there's so many problems in the world, there's so many issues affecting Muslim countries, affecting people right here in Canada and all over the world. And we have the freedom, the opportunity to start causes. No one comes to you and says, okay, why, you know, are you supporting this cause? Or why are you, you know, trying to start this organization? We have the freedom to do that. And this is a great opportunity as well. You know, just like we have a free market when it comes to business, right? So this is a free market. You can start any business you like. It's also, you know, and we know it as a land of opportunity for those who want to work hard, right, in worldly terms, so people, you know, immigrants who come, people who come from other places who don't have opportunities. This is a land of opportunity, right? Say you could come and you can build your future, you have safety, you have security, you have things that you can accomplish for your families, right, in worldly terms. But this is also a land of opportunity for goodness and setting up ourselves for rewards in the hereafter, right? So we have different opportunities to do things, Islamic things, other good things, spread goodness, you know, which can bring us rewards in the hereafter, inshallah. So these opportunities are right at our fingertips. Right? They're right at our fingertips. They're right outside our door. They're right inside the masjid. They're just outside our classrooms. We have these opportunities, but if we have this disease that I'm talking about, if we have this disease of laziness, it will make us pass upon these wonderful opportunities. A believer, remember, a believer, the qualities of the believer is that he or she is not one who is lazy. Rather, a believer, ideally, is a person who is alert, right? Who's on the move, who's working hard, who's getting things done, you know, who's delivering results, who's always moving around, and is always, you know, up to something good. But when we look around us, right, we find, unfortunately, that the believers, you know, are slowly becoming slower and slower and lazier and lazier and moving towards good, right? So when it comes to studies, right, when it comes to studies, we always, you know, in academics and science and technology, we always talk about how great Muslims were in the past, and alhamdulillah, you know, we still have a lot of talent in our communities. But when we look, you know, at the generations that are coming up, we find perhaps that there's a slight decline, right, that we have a downward trend. When, you know, we talk about things that need to be done within this masjid, other good things that need to be done, you know, the response is over time is slowly becoming slower and slower and slower. On the other hand, the disobedient, right? So the people who are sinning, who are doing things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, you know, are moving towards that, are quick to move toward that, right? They're moving towards that with speed. So the believers have trouble in doing things that are good. The believers have trouble in doing things that are virtuous, that are positive, while others, you know, have no problem, for example, partying all night, right? Being involved in sin, promoting immorality, and doing all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. What's interesting is that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is quoted as saying, and he made this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min jald al-fajri wa 'adz al-thiqa, that I seek Allah's protection from the time when the fasiq or the disobedient will have much energy. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu making this dua, you know, at his time. I seek Allah's protection from the time when the disobedient will have much energy and enthusiasm and the righteous will be lazy. Right? Seeking protection from Allah from the time when the disobedient will have much energy and enthusiasm to do the things of disobedience and the righteous, you know, the people who are actually on the right path, will become lazy. So the believers should be filled with energy to do positive. These are among the qualities of the believers. And on the other hand, the quality of the munafiqun, right, the quality of the hypocrites, is to be lazy in doing things that are good. And how, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. If they get up for salah, if they get up for prayer, they stand up with laziness. Right, so these are among the qualities of the munafiqun, of the hypocrites. So we understand the problem now, right? We understand the issue. So what to do about it? Right? How can you fight laziness? How can you fight procrastination? So first of all, start off your morning right. You know how they say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? So you should definitely have breakfast in the morning. Make sure you have a healthy breakfast so you start off your day right in terms of, you know, the physical needs of your body. In the same way, you know, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the morning is extremely, extremely important. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, reported in Sahih Bukhari, that during your sleep, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, during your sleep, shaitan ties 3 knots at the back of your necks. Okay, now, this doesn't mean that shaitan physically comes up and if you actually wake up in the middle of the night or in the morning, you're going to find 3 knots in your hair. That's not what he's saying. What is meant is, you know, knots are used as a tool, for example, for magicians, right? In magic. So what he's saying is that shaitan ties 3 knots at the back of your necks. He whispers the following into them. So shaitan basically performs, you know, a type of magic, you could say, right? And he recites 3 things. He whispers 3 spells, okay, to make it easier to understand, into them. The first one is, the night is long, so keep on sleeping. What does he whisper? The night is long, so keep on sleeping. If the person wakes and praises Allah, right? If the person wakes and praises Allah, then one of the knots is unfastened. Okay? So shaitan ties these 3 knots, and he whispers, he says, you know, the night is long, keep on sleeping, it's okay, keep sleeping, keep sleeping, keep sleeping. You have a lot of time left, keep sleeping. Right? If the person wakes up and praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then one of the knots is unfastened. If the person performs ablution, makes wudu, the second knot is unfastened. And when he prays, all of the knots, meaning the third one, is also unfastened. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, right? So what do? You wake up, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make wudu, and offer your prayer in the morning. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, after that, the person will be energetic and happy in the morning. After that, the person will be happy and energetic in the morning. Otherwise, he would get up listless and grouchy. Right? So you know, you say you got up on the wrong side of the bed, right? So if you want to get up on the right side of the bed, what do you need to do? You wake up, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make wudu, and offer your prayer in the morning. And this will, inshallah, make you energetic, make you happy in the morning. Otherwise, you'll find yourself being lazy, being listless, and being grouchy. So that's the first thing. The second thing is eating. Right, so we all like to eat, mashallah, you know, we have all types of foods that are available, and usually we think of stopping once the food has reached up to here. Right? So when we feel that the stomach is completely full now, then we say, okay, maybe we should stop now. And even then we think, should I stop now or should I not stop now? It tastes really good, maybe I should keep eating. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us the formula for healthy eating, right? And that is, 1/3 of your stomach is for food. Okay, of course we don't have, you know, it's not like a measuring cup where you have marks and you could tell, okay, 1/3 is done now, but, you know, take an estimate. So 1/3 of your stomach is for food, 1/3 of your stomach is for fluids, for water, and 1/3 of your stomach is for air. Okay, 1/3 for food, 1/3 for water, and 1/3 for air. Because if you don't follow that formula, you know what happens, right? We overeat, keep eating, and you say, oh, I eat so much, I feel lazy now, I feel sleepy now, I feel like taking a nap, right? So if you keep overeating, you're going to keep feeling lazy, you're going to keep feeling sleepy, keep feeling like you can't move, oh, I eat so much, I can barely walk, right? Most of us have probably used that expression before. Oh, I eat so much, you know, I can't do this. Oh, I eat so much, I just, you know, want to sit back and relax. Okay, so control the eating, 1/3 food, 1/3 water, 1/3 air, and inshallah, you'll find yourself not falling into the trap of laziness. Also, spend time with energetic people, right? So the company that we keep, the people who we are around, this rubs off on us, right? So check your company, check the people who are around you that you're spending your time with, and see if they're energetic or if they're lazy, right? So try to hang around high energy environments with people, you know, with people who are active, people who are getting things done, people who are moving around, right? If you sit around people who are constantly sitting on the couch, right, watching TV, eating chips, right, you're probably going to end up doing the same thing as well. Okay, so hang around people who are energetic, who have things to do, and who are moving around. When it comes to procrastination, you know, try to cut out the distractions. So if you need to get something done, if you have an assignment, you have a reading, you have a project to work on, allocate a time for it, and shut yourself away and work on it. You know, the problem is most of the time we're doing our work on computers, right? So we have one window open, right? You have Word open where you're trying to type your project, right? Or do your assignment, or perhaps you're trying to read online, right? In another window, you have Facebook open. In another window, you have your email open, right? And then you're also logged in to like 5 different chats, right? Applications. And people are messaging you at the same time, and then you're checking your news feed like every 3 seconds, right? Checking if someone has sent you an email in the last minute. How are you going to get anything done like that? Right? You can't get your work done because your thought process is constantly being interrupted by the Facebook, you know, news feed, by the email that comes in, by the chat message that you're having. And by the way, you know, I'm not trying to be holier than that. This is a problem I have as well, right? So I'm trying to tame myself as well while I talk about this, right? So when we need to get something done, try to shut everything off, right? Try to close off all the other windows, close yourself off in the room, leave your iPhone outside, you know, so no one messages you, nothing happens. You just focus and try to do what you need to do. And you need to make your heart and your mind present, right? And not distracted elsewhere. Because if it's distracted elsewhere, you're going to have a very hard time trying to get things done. Finally, of course, we make dua, right? So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make many, many times. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-huzn wal-adzi wal-kasal wal-bukhli wal-jubn wa dhala'i ad-dayni wa ghalabati ar-rijal. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought protection from a number of things, as I mentioned earlier. And in this particular dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from anxiety and sorrow. Note, these are all things that can bring a person down, right? These are all things that pull you down from being optimal, from being efficient, from being effective. So he says, O Allah, I take refuge in you from anxiety and sorrow, weakness and laziness, miserliness and cowardice, the burden of debts, and from being overpowered by men. And another dua that we can make is that, O Allah, I am your weak servant, and I cannot accomplish what I plan. Right, I have difficulty in accomplishing the things I need to accomplish, the things that I plan to accomplish, so assist me and help me in that. And inshallah, if you do that sincerely and you make the effort as well, of course, then inshallah you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you in that. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from being lazy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the qualities of the believers, which include being active, being proactive, and, you know, being getting things done and working positively. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful in all the good things that we endeavor to do. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.